lovely notes in order ringing, balsam to all worldly woes, sweeter when to lofty silence bringing, singing voice in words the meaning shows. How all that is then exalted, full of sense the sweetest sound, over all is praise allotted to song and psalter in combined round. Thus she sang as she went on across pastures toward the hills and the opening between the hills, struck till they rang at the strings, and picked them till they thrilled, and sang, burden worthy of the music, tone and word, together strive, each combining other's beauty, for they sing, the lads alive. Yea, O beneficent, what has here been wrought, and what have the ears of me, little one, caught, and what, open-mouthed, just now have I learned from men who were in Egypt and returned, from father dear and high uncles mine, who show me words to make a song so fine, and they gave me matter of splendor unmeasured. For who was it in Egypt they discovered? Little grandfather dear, at first you will not follow, but in the end you will have it to swallow, lovely as a dream, yet true withal, and just as real as it is wonderful. Rarest wonder past believing, that in one should be the two, that all poesy is living, and the beautiful the true. Now for once is here achieved that for which the soul doth strive. Let my burden be believed, true and beautiful, thy sons alive. Still 'twere better if you think it beautiful a while, but yet not true, lest the cup, if suddenly you drink it, fling you on your back and lay you low, as when once the worthless bloody token lying in their throats they brought you home, night fell on your soul forever unbroken, straight a pillar of salt you would become. Ah, what pangs you bore in thinking never more to see him with your eyes! Dead he lay within your heart and buried, now therein he sweetly doth arise. Here a man sought to question her, a shepherd in a shady hat standing on the hill. He had been watching her for a long time, listening in wonder to her song. Now he came down to her, set his pace to hers, and asked, "Maiden, what is it you sing as you go? It sounds so strange. I have often heard you praising and psaltering, and I know you can play right soundingly on the strings, but never before so teasingly and riddlingly as this, and in the way you keep the time and set the pace as you go. Are you going to Jacob the master, and has what you sing to do with him? It seems to me so. But what do you mean by beautiful and true? And what with your refrain, the lad's alive?" But Sirrah, as she walked, looked not at him. She only smiling shook her head. She took her hand a moment from the strings to lay her finger on her lips. Then she went on, "Sing, Sirrah, Asher's child, what thou hast learned from the 11 now out of Egypt returned. Sing how that God in his mercy has blessed them, that to the man down below they addressed them. Who then the man? Who but Joseph is he? My uncle, as tall and as fine as can be. Old one, look up. It is thy dear son. Greater is Pharaoh only by his throne. Lord of the lands his name they call. The state's first servant they name him all. Kings of the earth his praises sing. Stranger folk kneeling to him tribute bring. Over uncounted lands is he set. To all the people he giveth their meat. From thousands of barns he spendeth them bread, to carry them over their hunger and need. For he it was in foresight wisely hoarded, and therefore is his name o'er all belauded. His garments in myrrh and in aloes are pressed. In ivory palaces he sets up his rest. Forth from them like a bridegroom doth he come. Lo, old one, behold what has come of thy lamb." The man went along with her and listened with growing amazement to the words of her song. Seeing other folk at a distance, man or maid, he beckoned them up to listen with him. Sirrah was soon the center of a little troop of men, women, and children, which grew as they came nearer the camp. The children danced to the rhythm. The elders walked in the time of it. All their faces were turned to her, and she went on singing, "Whilst thou believest him mangled and dead, and with tears hast watered thy daily bread. 20 measured years have sped, mourning him with ashes on thy head. Lo, now, old one, behold and see, God, he can scourge and can heal. How marvelous all his ways can be for human children's weal! Past understanding is his rule, great all the work of his hands. He dealt with his servant as a fool, and laid thee under bands. Creation laughs at the lordly jest, Tabor and Hermon leap. He snatched away thy dearest and best, but now thou shalt have him to keep. Thou hast writhen, old man, in thy pain, and found thyself in it again. But now he is returned to you, still lovely, though rather stouter to view. Thou knowest not his face, nor yet his name canst guess. Stammering you will greet, nor know who shall fall at whose feet. Thus God went about at his ease, my dear little grandfather to tease. By this time she had drawn with her train quite close to her home under Mamre's terebinths. She saw Jacob, the man of the blessing, sitting stately on his mat before the curtains of his dwelling. Now she lifted her instrument and held it higher and more firmly in her arm. Up till then she had been picking and twanging the strings in well-tried scherzos and dissonances, but now she drew from it sounding chords of sweeping harmony, to which she sang in her full-throated voice, "For a word of beauteous rareness in my music interweaves, matching all it hath of fairness, and it says, thy darling lives. Match, O soul, in exultation, golden music of the strings, for the grave no longer hath him. Heart, he is arisen. Sing. Heart, it is the sorely missed, for whom the earth its anguish bore, whom they lured into the coffin, whom the boar's vile tushes tore. Ah, he was no longer present, desolate the barren earth, till we heard, he is arisen. Dear old father, pray have faith. Godlike in his steps he paces, round his head bright summer birds do reel, as across the flowery spaces, lo, he greets thee with a smile. Wintry grief and deathly anguish from his kiss away have flown. On his lips and cheeks and forehead hath the eternal favor strewn. Read it in his laughing features, all was but a godlike jest, and in late believing raptures take him to thy father breast." Jacob had long since seen his grandchild, his little music lips, coming towards him, and listened well pleased to her voice. He even clapped his hands benevolently, just like the audience at a play. When she reached him, the maid, without other greeting than her song, sat down on the mat at his feet. Her troop of followers stayed at some distance away. The old man listened, and his applauding hands slowly fell. His nodding as slowly turned into a doubtful head-shaking. When she came to an end of her verse, he said, "Good and charming, my granddaughter, so far. It is sweet of you, Sierra, and thoughtful to come and give a little pleasure to the lonely old man. You see, I know you well by name, as I do not all of my grandchildren, for there are too many. But you stand out for your gift of song. It makes a real person of you, so that one remembers your name. But listen now, my gifted one, while I say, I have heard with pleasure the music and the poetry, but yet not without some misgiving the sense. For poesy, dear little one, poesy is always an alluring, seductive, dangerous thing. Sense and senses lie close together, and song rhymes all too easily with wrong. Grace and charm are prone to gracelessness and harm if they are not bridled by concern with God. Lovely is the play of thought, but holy the spirit alone. Poesy is play of heart and mind. Willingly I applaud it, so long as it loses not sight of spirit, but remains in the end concerned with God. Now, what was it you were saying in your warbling and trilling? And what can I make of a man like a god tripping across the fields with birds flitting about him and laughing at his own jests? He sounds to me like one of these nature gods hereabouts, whom I hold in great suspicion. The folk of the countryside call him Lord, and darken the counsels of the children of Abraham with their folly. We too speak of the Lord, of course, but our meaning is altogether different. Never can I be sufficiently concerned for Israel's soul, nor preach enough under the tree of wisdom that this Lord is not the Lord. Our people are always on the point of confusing the two and relapsing into idolatry. For God is a high and difficult task, but the gods are a pleasant sin. Can I then, dear child, applaud when you lend your gift to pleasant psaltery after the loose ways of the land? But Sarah only shook her head with a smile, plucked her strings anew, and sang, Who then do I sing, O grandfather mine? Who but my uncle, so tall and so fine? Look up, old man, it is thy dear son. Greater is Pharaoh only by his throne. Grandfather, at first you cannot follow, but in the end you will have it to swallow. For a word of wonder rareness in my music interweaves, matching all it hath of fairness, and it says, Thy darling lives. Child, said Jacob, greatly moved, truly it is lovely and pleasant that you come before me and sing of my son Joseph, whom you never knew, and devote your gift to divert me. But your song is riddling. The rhymes are well enough, but not the reason, and so it hath neither rhyme nor reason. I cannot let it pass, for how can you sing the lads alive? Such words can give me no joy. They are but lying flourishes, for Joseph died long since. Mangled is he, mangled and dead. But Sarah answered him in ringing chords, Match, O soul, with exaltation, golden music of the strings, for the grave no longer hath him. Heart, he is arisen, sing. Ah, he was no longer present, desolate the barren earth, till we heard, He is arisen. Dear old father, pray have faith. From thousands of barns he spendeth them bread, to carry them over their hunger and need. For he, like Noah, wisely hath provided, and therefore is his name o'er all beloved. His garments in myrrh and in aloes are pressed. In ivory palaces he sets up his rest, and issueth like bridegroom forth from them. Old one, behold what hath come of thy lamb. Sarah, my grandchild, reckless little one, said Jacob impressively, what shall I think of your loose-mouthed song? I have let much pass as poetic license, though I find it little respectful that you address me as old man. But poetic license is not the only license in your song. It is altogether a string of disrespectful and cheating make-believe. You may think to please me by it, but pleasure founded on falseness is no true pleasure, nor can it profit the soul. Dare poesy lend itself to such? Is that its province? Are you not abusing your gift from God to dress in it such untrue and unreasonable things? Verily, there must be some reason allied to the beauty, else it only mocks the heart.